Maseches Demai, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, 1-3. This Mishnah continues on, as the whole Perek does, talking about the leniencies that apply to Demai. Here we're talking about leniencies with regard to using Demai products. Usually when one talks about Tevel, bona fide untithed produce, so it's forbidden to eat it without tithing it, and it's also forbidden to make use of it in a way that destroys the Tevel. So we're going to see here that Demai certainly is forbidden to be eaten without first separating the Demai tithes, but we will allow it to be used for other purposes, even though the Demai, the produce, is destroyed in the process. Mishnah says, Halokech lazera b'lebehema. If a person purchases Demai and his plan is to use it for seeding his field, so he purchases wheat and then uses it as wheat seed, so a wheat field, or b'lebehema, to feed to his animals, so normally that would be forbidden if it's tevel proper. You have to first tithe the tevel before using it for planting, and once you finish processing the food, you can't feed it to your animals after Gemar Malacha without first tithing it, but with Demai or Makel in both cases. In addition, when it comes to tevel, if one plants it and the seed is dissolves, you know, it wastes away before the thing regrows, then the the produce that comes from such a seed is allowed to be consumed and has a regular status as regular food. However, when you plant, let's say, a bulb, which doesn't really get lost when you plant it, and a new plant grows from that bulb, that would be forbidden for consumption since the bulb was tevel. But none of that applies with Demai. If one takes a Demai bulb and plants it, then the produce that comes from that is permissible. Mishnah continues on, Kamach L'Oros. If a person purchases Demai, wheat, let's say, to make wheat flour and use that flour for tanning hides, the wheat acts as a desiccant to dry out the leather hides, and it's an essential part of the tanning process, and it consumes the wheat flour along the way. So if a person purchases wheat flour for industrial use, like, for example, for tanning hides, and what he purchased was Demai, he need not take further Demai tithes before using that Demai flour for tanning his hides. And similarly, Shemen Lanair, if he buys, let's say, olive oil, and the olive oil is Demai, he can use it as is for lighting a candle and not tithe it a second time. And similarly, Shemen Lasuchbo es Akelim, if he's using the oil as like an industrial lubricant to grease up his utensils, or if it's used as a way to prevent rust. Similarly, you know, like WD-40 style, putting the oil on the utensil station, as you know, to prevent it from water getting in and making it rusty. Again, even though it does consume the oil, the Demai, it's permissible, which would not be the case if it were tevel proper. All these things are pater, min ha-demai, they're all exempt from the Demai tithe. Now, the next part of the mission discusses regions where one purchases foodstuffs and where they're considered Demai. The idea here is that when one purchases food, it's presumed to be locally produced and not imported from a distance. And therefore, once you leave the area that has the biblical requirements of tithing, so then there'd be no requirements for rabbinic tithing of Demai. So what happened was, originally when Klal Yisrael came in from Mitzrayim, there was a certain border set. When they left, there was a bit of a reset. So when the Jews came back a second time under Ezra and by Sheni time, that part of the country which was Kavush was conquered by the Olei Bavel, those who came back with Ezra, etc. So that is the new borders of Eretz Yisrael that are subject to the laws of tithing and therefore subject to the rabbinic requirements of Demai. If one goes beyond those borders and purchases foodstuff, there's no rabbinic requirement to take the Demai tithes. It should be spoken out here that although Midoraisa, the borders of Israel, were those which were conquered by Ezra when he came back, rabbinically, the rabbis extended the requirements to Bavel, since Jews were there and there's a lot of commerce between the two places, as well as the countries bordering Eretz Israel directly, meaning Ammon and Moab, that's modern-day Jordan, as well as Egypt to the south, and Syria, which is more or less modern-day Syria, which has slightly different halachas, to the north. In any case, here we're giving just the northern border, and we're saying Mikaziv ulahalan patamina demai. From the town of Kaziv and further north, that's considered to be beyond the borders of the Ole Bavel, those who came from Bavel and beginning of Bayashani, and it's not subject to demai. Kaziv is actually presumed to be the modern day area of Achziv, which is about say 8 miles north of Akko and about 2 miles south of the current modern Israel's border at the Rosh HaNikra, there on the northwest corner of Israel. The Mishnah continues on to say there are four categories of food which are not subject to the laws of Demai at all. There's a machlokas, the reason why. According to Rav Yochanan, Chazal were never gozer on these four things, and according to Rav Oshia, who the Bar Tanura follows, it's because Amei Haaretz will be careful with these four things because of the sanctity that's involved and be careful to tithe properly. The Bar Tanura goes with Rav Oshia Shita, so we'll say that, that we're assuming here that the Amei Haaretz is particular to tithe these four things because they involve sanctified foodstuff. The Rama, however, paskins like the Rav Yochanan, and there are significant afkaminas. If it's just according to Rav Yochanan and the Rambam, it's just the Chazal would never goes or the din of Demai in these four areas. In any case, the list is number one, Chalas Amei Haaretz. The Chala taken from an Amei Haaretz is dough. That is, say, an Amei Haaretz, he has dough. He has a requirement to take a portion of that dough as Chala, Hafrashas Chala for the Kohen. And when he gives it to the Kohen can eat it as is. He need not tithe it as Demai. That is to say, we're confident that, according to the Bar Tanura, we're confident that the Amei Haaretz would be careful to not mess up the mitzvah of challah by not tithing it properly, and therefore he would be careful to tithe properly in giving the gift of challah, the mitzvah of challah, to a Kohen, and therefore we do not require the Kohen to do the Demai tithe. V'hamaduma. Meduma, if you remember in the introduction to the Masechta, I said that Demai might come from the word Meduma. Demai is with an Aleph and Meduma with an Ayin, but Meduma is a mixture of Truma, or equally halachic things like Trumas Meiser, etc., that gets mixed with Chulin, normal food. The normal rule is that when things get mixed, typically there's either Bitzel Barov or a Bitzel B'Shishim. If you have a dry mixture, you'd have 60 times against what annulled the one part of Isser. Here, if we're talking about Truma, the bar is raised a bit, and 60 times of chulin against truma would not annul the truma. It's still forbidden to eat by non-Kohen until you get to 99 or 100 times chulin against one part of truma. And it's machlokas 99 a bit or 100 times against. In either case, if a mixture contains one part of truma to 99 parts of chulin or less than that, amount of chulin, then the mixture is called meduma, and it's forbidden for non-Kohen to eat. Instead, the owner of that mixture would sell the mixture to a Kohen, so only a Kohen could eat it, and he wouldn't be able to charge the Kohen for that extra piece of trum that already belonged to the Kohen. In any case, if a Amei Haaretz has a meduma mixture and he gives it to a Kohen, the Kohen can assume, says the mission here, that the Amei Haaretz would be careful because in deference to the truma mixed in to tithe this mixture properly, and therefore he not need to take tithes of the Maya a second time. The third category is Balakuach Bekesef Maaser Sheni. That food which is purchased with the money that came from Maaser Sheni. So again, you recall, when one takes Maaser Sheni, if he doesn't want to go to Jerusalem with it, the physical food, he can redeem the Kedusha off the Maaser Sheni onto coins and bring those coins to Jerusalem and then use that to buy foodstuffs in Jerusalem. Now, when that process happens at each step of the way, there's a kedusha that's transferred first from the Maaser Sheni onto the money, and then from the money onto the newly purchased foodstuff in Jerusalem. So that new food also is sanctified in Jerusalem and it must be eaten in Jerusalem, but Tahara, etc. And therefore, if you have food that was purchased with money that had redeemed Maaser Sheni, the food that was purchased by the Amei Haaretz can be presumed to be properly tithe, because the Amei Haaretz would properly tithe the food and ensure it's properly done in deference to the mitzvah and sanctity of Maaser Sheni. And finally, the fourth category is Ushiyarim HaMenachos, leftovers, the Shirayim of Menachos, of meal offerings. When one brings a meal offering, as many Amei Haaretzim do for whatever reasons, to the Beis HaMikdash, a little bit of it, a kamitza, is offered, but typically the rest is going to be consumed and eaten by the Kohanim. So the question would be, do the Kohanim need to be afraid that this wasn't properly tithed and it's Demai? The Mishnah's answer is no. You do not need to be afraid of that. And according to the Bar Tanura, the Pshat would be, the reason why is because once they're doing the mitzvah of bringing a mincha, korban mincha, the Am Haaretz would be careful to tithe it properly. And therefore, the Kohen has no reason to be afraid. In all those cases, patur min ha-demai, those four categories are exempt from the demai obligations. Finally, shemen arev, which is pleasant oil. There's a machlokas, so what the pshat here is. We'll go with the bartender's first pshat first, which is pleasant smelling oil. Shemen afarsimon, balsam oil, smells good. So the question is, if one is partaking of oil but not eating it, rather smelling it, does that already require the demai tithes for the fear that this oil is not properly tithed and is actually tevel? Beishamay mechayvin. Beishamay says yes. This is a demai obligation if you're just going to smell it. And Bezhil Pochim, Bezhil, who the Lach of course follows, is no, you don't need to take demai tithes. If you're not actually eating it, you're just smelling it. There's a second pshat here that we're talking here about. Olive oil that's used as a salve on one's hands. It's olive oil that's mixed with myrrh and aloe to sort of heal the hands. But that's I'll leave that pshat aside for later on. The idea, if that would be the pshat, is that there's usually a din of sicha kashtia, that one who anoints with something has a din as if he drank that thing. So then one might have thought, if he anoints his hands with the olive oil, it would be like consuming it and eating it, and would first require tithing. It's like drinking it. So Beis Hillel say no, it isn't. And we'll see in the next mission that's a more difficult pshat to maintain. And therefore, we'll stick to the first pshat as the one to remember, which is if it's just smelling produce, like balsam oil, it's just for smelling, then according to Beis Hillel, no demai tithes required. Beis Shammai say there is, but the lach, of course, is like Beis Hillel.